be with you this week, weekend. And, oh, is this the one I'm supposed to take? I don't know. One of these. I'll grab it. I got to have something. So, it's been great to get to know a number of you and reconnect with Steve and Kathy. It's always a pleasure to see old friends. We go back 30, 40 years, something like that. How old are you now? I don't know. He's younger than I am, so. So, yeah, this weekend I was talking on Friday night about who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. And then yesterday we talked about one of the things the Holy Spirit does is give spiritual gifts to God's people to do the work of ministry. One of those gifts is called prophecy. Now, a lot of people, when they think of prophecy, they think of foretelling, the future, something like that. But actually, as we're going to see, prophecy is a word that really encompasses any kind of speech from God to us. It's very broad. It can come in lots of different forms, and I'll be talking about that. But I really want to hone in on, how do we hear God's voice and how we discern that, how we know it's God, right? Rather than us making up something in our own minds or, remembering something our youth pastor said, how do we know that's God? So to start off, I want to read a passage from the book of Acts, and this illustrates how the apostle Paul heard God's voice. This is Acts chapter 16, and in verse 6, it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, I find this passage really interesting because you can see how the Spirit of God is speaking to the Apostle Paul. He didn't just pick anywhere to go or do some market study like this is a great place to plant a church. Paul tries to go into several places, and it says the Holy Spirit stopped him. That there was a specific place Paul needed to be to preach the gospel. And so they try twice to go into these regions, and it says the Spirit of God stopped them. But in the last section, it says that the Spirit of God revealed in a vision at night to Paul that he should go to Macedonia. And so that's where they said concluded that that's where they should go. So that word concluded means they sat around and talked about and said, discerned, this is where we should be going. Now, how did they do that? Well, it's kind of interesting. We'll talk about that. But at this stage, we can see that Paul was guided and directed by the Spirit in his ministry. He just didn't go anywhere he wanted to. He wanted to be Spirit-led. And to do that, he has to hear from God. And so he has this vision. And so they do go to Macedonia. And what they find is they go to Philippi, actually. And there they find a woman, Lydia, and a few other women praying by a river. I've actually been there. There's a site. I've been to Greece 3 or 4 times, the biblical sites. There's not much in Philippi today. Earthquakes over the year made people move from there. But there's one river right in that location, and that's a site that people think that's where Paul met Lydia and shares the gospel with these women, and they start a church. So Paul was guided by the Spirit very specifically to a specific place. He just didn't wander around preaching the gospel aimlessly. Now, one thing we learn from this passage is this. Does this work? Oh, here we go. Is that God is a God who speaks. He's not a God who is silent. God is a God who is personal, who uses words to communicate his truth to us. And when we look in the Bible, the primary way God speaks to us is not through written communication or through propositional statements, but rather God speaks directly. We find over and over again in the Old Testament, it says, and the word of the Lord came to so-and-so. This means Dabar Yahweh. And it's always a spoken and oral word because God desires to speak to us. And so we find that this is very characteristic in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. But as we look at Scripture, we see that God speaks in a variety of different ways. And I just want to review some of those today for you and just show you the possibilities that we have. So how does God speak? Well, God speaks directly and indirectly through an audible voice. And we see that this happens with Abraham, that God speaks to Abraham and tells him to go from his place, his family, what is known, and go to a place I will show you. Now that's kind of scary. Notice when God spoke, he didn't tell him the plan, where to go, but he had to leave, and as he's going, God will show him. It's a future tense. We kind of like to know where we're going if we're leaving somewhere, right? And so, but Moses, Abraham is listening to God, not just at the beginning, go to this address, but leave and go, and it's everything he knows, and go to a place where God will show him, where he'll lead him. We find that Moses and the people of Israel are also wandering about, and that God is leading and guiding and interacting with them and speaking to them, but primarily to Moses. It says God spoke to Moses in ways he didn't speak to others, like a friend speaks to a friend. And we find that God spoke to Moses numerous times, and so we have this. We also find that three times there's an audible voice in the Gospels speaking. God speaks audibly to Jesus. Now, this is kind of rare, even in the Bible, an audible voice. I know some people who have heard or thought they've heard an audible voice, but most of the time it's an internal voice. One of my colleagues is named Elize. He's from Africa, Burkina Faso. And I go to the homeless shelter with students once a month, been doing it for over 10 years. And like today, I'm supposed to be there, but I have somebody else doing it. Well, I couldn't go one time, and Elize had prepared. He was going to go speak at the homeless shelter. And when he left his house, it was about a 20-minute drive to go to the homeless shelter, he heard God tell him, don't preach what you're going to preach. And then he begins the dialogue. If you're a pastor, that's not what you want to hear on Sunday morning. I just spent all this time. And so he's like, well, what should I talk about? And as he's in the car, he's jotting notes down, and he got to the homeless shelter, and he preached that sermon. And numerous people came up to him afterwards and said, we really needed to hear that word today. So even when you make a plan as a pastor, sometimes God has a different word, a different plan, but will speak to us directly. So we see that God does speak directly or indirectly within our minds. Also, when you look in the Bible, there are things what are called theophanies. What a theophany is a revelation of God, but in a masked form. So Jacob is wrestling an angel, and then afterwards we find out he says, I wrestled with God. Or we find that Hagar is in the desert, and an angel speaks, but she says, I saw the God who sees me. Right? So we have these appearances like that where somehow some form is representative of God. And we find angels. The word angel itself means messenger. Angels in the Bible are messengers. They bring messages to God's people. And so we find numerous times, like most famously with Mary, angel comes to Mary and say that God is planning to conceive in her a child who would be the Messiah. So we find these things. And I know some folks who've told me stories where they thought they've encountered angels today. There are unusual circumstances. I've never had that happen to me personally, but I know people have saw that. Another dominant way God speaks in Scripture is through dreams and visions. We all know the story of Joseph. We find that Joseph was a dreamer and could interpret dreams, and God used those dreams. He got in trouble with his brothers because of that, but he was carried off to Egypt and put in prison, and because he could dream and interpret dreams, the Pharaoh released him and raised him up. We also see Daniel has dreams in the Old Testament. But there are lots of dreams in the New Testament, as well as visions. We just read where Paul had a night vision. So he saw someone in his mind's eye. Now, how did he know he's Macedonian? Probably by the way they dressed. Each culture had different clothing, and he could tell in that way. I received a few of these visions. I don't normally or can't say I've had very many dreams that were meaningful. I don't know if you're someone who dreams. I know some people can come and they talk to me about a dream for 45 minutes and 2 days later they can do it again. I can't remember a dream I've had in the last 10 years. I mean, when I sleep, I fall into a coma. And then I wake up, and I very rarely remember dreams. But I've had a few visions. And it was during a time I was actually reading a book about how God speaks. And I wanted God to speak, and I've shared some stories over the weekend about that. But I really desired this. And one day I was driving to my work. I was living in New Jersey at the time. It's about a half an hour away. And I was working. I was working on my doctoral dissertation. I had family responsibilities, and I have two boys that were very rowdy, right? Especially my older son. And he was about 10, 12 years old. And he's not a big guy, but he can, he really is good with words. He can really sling it. And there are times it's very aggravating. And so I remember I'm driving in my van to work, and I get a vision. It's the first one I ever had. It was like you ever have a picture on TV? You got TV, but over in the corner, there's something else going on. Well, that's how it was, because I was driving down the road. I needed to watch what I was doing. But I saw that, and in this vision, I saw myself pinning my son against the wall, and I was yelling at him. I didn't hear anything. I just saw me pinning him against the wall and very angrily talking to him. And that actually, it was something that happened. I had done that. And as I saw that vision, I heard the sweetest, most gentle voice say to me, "I never disciplined you that way. Do you want a word from the Lord?" Sometimes it's a word of correction, and I needed it. I mean, my son was aggravating, he's mouthy, he was doing things he shouldn't do, but I had an angry edge to my discipline, and that was God's way of showing me, chill out, man. I don't discipline you like that. You need to lighten up at home, right? And so I just started, as I was at work, just in tears. It really, I didn't expect that. You know, especially the first word I've heard, right? So God speaks many times through dreams, through visions, but also we find that God is speaking through prophets, that prophets are given, and prophets throughout the Old Testament proclaim God's word to God's people. Sometimes it's a word of correction, sometimes it's a word of guidance and direction, warning. many different things we can find in that God's using another person, prophetic, to share a word. And we see this happen in David's life, right? David had committed adultery. David had conspired in a murder, and he thought he got away with it, right? But Nathan was a prophet, and Nathan comes to David and tells us the story about how there's one man in the kingdom who has so many sheep. It's amazing how many sheep this person has. He's very wealthy. He's got all his sheep. And then there's this one poor guy. He's only got one little lamb. And then he tells him that, you know what happened? That the rich man even took the little lamb from this poor guy. And it made David angry. And he says, he should die. And Nathan says, you're that guy. You're that guy. So we find stories like that, that God's speaking very specifically, very directly, and we find that people are enabled to speak through God's Spirit. Now, we also find that God speaks through nature. If you read Psalm 119, it says that God proclaims, declares his glory in the heavens, everywhere God is speaking. There's nowhere you can go without God speaking through the natural realm or human conscience. And it's true, isn't it? Have you ever been to a place that's just so wonderful, so beautiful, that you sense God's presence? I had that experience when I went to Yellowstone National Park. And I was before Yellowstone Falls. It was summer. It was beautiful. I don't know if you've ever been there, but the smells and everything. And I just could sense God's presence. I've always enjoyed the outdoors. It's a great way God speaks to me. One of the problems, though, with the natural realm and God speaking through nature is that it's ambiguous and fickle and inconsistent. And what I mean by that is think about this. It's a wonderful, beautiful day, and you and your sweetheart decide, let's go on a picnic. And it's just gorgeous out, right? So you pack a really nice lunch. You drive somewhere right next to a stream. In the woods, it's great. You put out the blanket, you're eating, and everything's wonderful, and you're staring into one another's eyes, and you're in love. Everything's wonderful, right? But then you see a cloud coming, right? And then the wind starts to pick up, and it starts to blow and rain and hail, and then a branch breaks and drops and breaks the neck of your sweetheart, and then you're carrying them out of the woods, and a rattlesnake bites you, and then the rivers flood and wash your body away in the ocean, and no one ever finds you. I mean, that could happen. So on the one hand, nature's wonderful, beautiful, but it can turn on, especially in Michigan, right? I mean, one day it could be, in the same day, it could be nice and warm and wham. So nature, God speaks through nature, but not clearly, not unambiguously. So we see that. Primarily, God has spoken to humanity through revealing who he is in his Son, Jesus Christ. After all, he's called the Word. And the Word is not something written, it's a person. And God speaks to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, God speaks to us through Scripture as well. And as we're reading, we might be reading along, and God might highlight something, and bingo, that's exactly what I needed to read that day. You know, God highlights something. And in any case, Scripture tends to be a primary way people think God speaks in God's Word. But what I want to talk about today is how God speaks outside the Scripture and then how to discern that, right? So another way God speaks is through other people. Have you ever had somebody say something to you and it's like, God has been talking to me about that. I had a student at Spring Arbor who... She wanted to be a missionary, and she was not very happy that she had to go through college first. She just wanted to get out there and share the gospel, and she'd come to my office. She was very frustrated by that, and she became actually critical of the students at Spring Arbor. She said, "These students aren't very spiritual, and I just need to get out there, and, you know, I wish they would read their Bible more and get excited about the Holy Spirit." Week after week, she's doing this. Well, after a few weeks, I normally pray, you know, before I meet with students, just, "God, is there something you want me to say to her?" And I felt like what I should say is, and this is what I did say. I said, "You know, if you want to be a missionary, it starts now. Why can't you love and care for the people that are around you now? Why, you know, all your vision is just rush through this and go, what is God, slow down. What's your hurry? Why not love the people around you?" And she says to me, "You're the third person today who told me that." God has a way sometimes of speaking through others. And if you hear it repetitively, then you might think, well, maybe this is God. Maybe I should, listen in here. But what we find in Scripture is God speaks very personally and very specifically. Here are three scriptures. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will direct your paths." So just like Abraham, God directed Abraham in the way I will show you. God promises here to direct our paths as we lean into and ask God to guide us. Also in Psalm 32, God says this: "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." Now that's very personal, very specific. The language is very tender. He will teach us and instruct us and give us counsel with his loving eye on us. So we have this. And then we have Jesus saying in the Gospel of John that his sheep know his voice and listen to him. And he calls them by name. He calls them. It's very specific. So, and will lead them. So we see in Scripture that God is very interested not just in speaking general words, but very specific words, and knows us by name and will instruct and guide and counsel us. And how does he do that? Well, look at the ways that God speaks. There's many ways God speaks. So we need to be in tune to this and know, first of all, that God speaks and that God speaks specifically to us. And if we have to make a decision or want to be guided, that is a reality we find in Scripture, that God speaks very personally, very directly. And sometimes this makes certain people nervous. They feel like, well, God spoke to us in the Bible. And there are some people who teach that God doesn't speak outside the Bible, only in the Bible. Now, God does speak in the Bible, but here's the problem with that idea that God only speaks in the Bible, is that the Bible itself tells us God speaks outside the Bible. See, that's the problem. That God himself speaks outside the Bible. The Bible tells us that. It gives us all these stories that he speaks through nature, he speaks through prophets, he speaks through all kinds of people, parents, all kinds of people. Now, when you think about it too, the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's important to not devalue the Bible, but that same Spirit who inspired Scripture also illuminates Scripture. You ever read that book? Some things are hard to get. And sometimes God uses the Bible to speak to it. But the same Spirit illuminates us and applies the Bible to our life, to specific situations. So a helpful distinction is this. Scripture is thought of, and I'm going to use a couple of Greek words here, as a logos word. What's a logos word? Well, the Bible's given to us, but it's given to everyone, everywhere, all times. It's universal. It's general. It's eternal. It doesn't change. It is objective. You can read it and study it and talk with friends to interpret it. But we find that the Bible itself is very general. It gives doctrine. It gives ethics. And it has authority, absolute authority. Now, God outside the Bible is different than that. God outside the Bible is to individuals, to groups. It's very particular. It's very specific at times. It's temporal, flexible. It's more subjective. It needs some interpretation as well. Unlike the Bible, it's fallible. You can mishear or misunderstand or misinterpret. And any speaking outside Scripture will not bring out new doctrine and new ethics. It's usually applying what we already have within Scripture itself. So that's an important distinction. That's called a rhema word. It's actually logos, is universal, it's for everybody at any time. But here's the thing. The Bible itself won't tell you many particulars that you and I face in life. Like, whom should we marry? Does the Bible tell us that? What should be our job? What's our career? What's our calling? Bible doesn't tell us that. Bible doesn't tell us many, many things. Bible doesn't tell us what to wear, what to order at Taco Bell. Although he does show up on a taco from time to time in Mexico. Right? All these things are very specific. And think of all the things in your life you need guidance, direction on. It's not in the Bible. So to be Spirit-led is to have God speak to us in all these areas in our life, and they fall under what's a rhema word, a word that's very particular and specific. Now, there's some cautions here, right? As I just mentioned, you can mistake the voice of others or your own voice for the voice of God. When I was at Asbury Seminary, I was... spent a semester being a hospital chaplain. And one day I went into the hospital, and a couple of nurses said, "There's a guy down here you really need to talk to," right? And I'm like, "Oh, boy, that's great." So I walk in a room, and a guy's tied in his bed. And they teach us, you know, pastorally, like, you know, "My name's Ken, I'm the chaplain, and why are you here," right? And so when I asked him, he said, "I shot myself." And I said, "Well, why did you do that?" And he said, "God told me to." Now, that's an extreme example, but oftentimes our own voice can be mistaken for the voice of God, that we sort of, we want to believe something, and so. Okay? There are also times when God is speaking, and we don't really want God to speak, right? We might be doing something or involved in something and feel like this is not a time when I want God to speak to me. Okay? I had this happen to me when I was my first year at Spring Arbor, when I was a young man, as a student. I had just become a Christian a year before, and one of the many flaws I had in my life was I liked to speed. I loved to drive fast. I got a ticket one time. I got pulled over. In one episode, I got 5 tickets. And I was racing somebody, reckless drive, all kinds of things. So I became a Christian. Then I'm at Spring Arbor. And one of my friends happened to be a drug dealer. And he had a Corvette 454 with headers. He said, "Do you want to borrow my car? I'm going on a trip for a couple weeks." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'd love to do that." So I get in this guy's car, and I am driving fast, really fast, everywhere I can go. I mean, this thing was really fast. And the whole time, I was hearing a voice say, "This is reckless. Slow down. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't be driving this fast." And I'm like, "You know, get off, you know." And it's so fun. So one night, a guy on my floor said, "You got a really good testimony. I'd like you to go share that with my youth group," right? And so I said, "I'll drive, all right? I'll drive. This will be fun. I've got this Corvette Stingray." And so I was parked at the time at the Spring Arbor Free Methodist Church. I don't know if you've been to Spring Arbor. There's a parking lot there. And I was going to Concord, which was west of there. And Spring Arbor in the day hasn't changed much. It's a pretty small town, right? But I get in the car, and I am doing 90 miles per hour
I'm just in third gear before I even go a half a mile. And right there was a policeman. And I zoomed past him and realized I'm in trouble. I'm in big trouble. And so the guy eventually pulls me over, because it took me a while. I saw him, so I started slowing down, but the lights were on, right? So anyways, he was very angry. And at the time, he said, "You need to go to court for this." So, oh, dang, you know? So me and a buddy, I had him drive me down to the Jackson Courthouse, Jackson County Courthouse, and I go in there, and I was going somewhere. I just had gym clothes on. I thought I'd go to the window and find out what the fine was and then, you know, come back and pay it. I had no money at the time. I just went, "How much is it?" But I said, no, you got to go before the magistrate. I'm like, duh. So I go before the magistrate, and the guy's like, "You're doing over 90 miles an hour in a 25-mile zone, right? How do you play?" I said, "I'm guilty." And I says, "Okay." He said it was going to be like, I think it was like $500 or 5 days in jail. And I'm like, "I don't have $500. And he says, "Well, you're going to jail, Mr. Brewer." And I'm like, "What?" And he put me in jail. Right? And so I go in the Jackson County Jail. And I don't know if you've ever been in jail, but let me tell you what it's like. You know, you get searched and everything, go in there. So I'm in a county jail, and everybody's sitting around. And what you do is like, "What are you in here for?" Right, so we go around this circle, and the guy's in a drug deal, a guy breaking and entering, you know, murder. No, there was no murder, but it comes around to me, and like, "What'd you do?" I'm like, "Speeding." And they're like, "What?" And I said, do you live here?" I said, "No, I'm from the Detroit area, but I go to college at Spring Arbor." And so one of the guys says, "Isn't that a Christian college?" And I said, "Yeah." And another guy says, "What's a Christian doing in jail?" You know? And I realized the whole time, God was speaking to me the whole time, and you can just totally ignore that. And you might end up in a place you don't want to be. So you can definitely squelch God's voice and not want to hear it. Or you can misuse God's voice. And this is very common. So on our campus, Christian campus, and, you know, people 18 to 22, they're falling in love and this and that. It's very common. I hear students come tell me and says, "My girlfriend broke up with me." And I'm like, "Oh, that's too bad. She said God didn't want us to be together," you know. And it's like, you know, and the kid's there, "Not only is my girlfriend not like me, God hates me," you know. And there's a way we can use spirituality to sort of not really be honest. So I tell students, look, if you're dating someone for a month, just say, "You know, we've been dating a month, and I've come to realize I really don't like you." I mean, that's much more honest, right? Instead of dragging God into the whole thing. But somehow we spiritualize it, and it's really a misuse of God. So that leads us then, well, how can we know if a word is from God? And I'm going to close with that. Well, first of all, Scripture itself says in three places every word needs to be tested or evaluated. So you just don't automatically go and do or receive whatever is being said to you. Like somebody comes up to you and says, "You know, the Lord told me to tell you." Have you ever had someone do that? Well, test it, evaluate it. Scripture says to do that, right? Now, here's another principle. Is that whatever word is given outside Scripture, it should not conflict with Scripture. Twice in my ministry, I've had two women come tell me that God has told them to leave their husband and marry someone else. Twice. Right? Not at the same time. It was like it was 10 years apart, but different woman, too. And it's like, well, what does the Bible say about that? But they were convinced that God had told them, "Okay, I need to go get it." Well, what does Scripture say about the divorce? Yeah. So people try to, it should not conflict with Scripture. Another principle is if someone gives you a word, or you're listening to a TV preacher that says Christ is returning in, you know, July 4th of this year, does it happen? Now, we've all heard in our lifetime, probably every couple of years, someone on TV or, you know, claiming Christ is returning. Does it happen? Okay. Or if someone gives you a word about your life and it doesn't fit, that's not from God, right? Words don't have to be accurate, but they need to be, they need to be accurate, but not perfect. We find even Paul was told that if he went to Jerusalem, that he would be arrested by the Romans and thrown in jail. And that was true, only it was the Jews who arrested him and put him before the Sanhedrin. Correct, but not exactly exact. So, also 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says words from God, prophetic words, are to do this, edify a person, or strengthen their faith, or comfort them in some way. Those are criteria to judge. Is this a word? Some people are very, give very general words, and sometimes they're kind of judgy. I was in a church one time, and a woman stood up in the back and said, "Someone here needs to repent," as if it's a prophetic word. I'm like, well, who wants to go first? I mean, everybody's got something. And why are you so mad anyways? I mean, it can get weird, right? So does that happen? Also, what's the fruit? What's the fruit of this? If someone gives you a word, are you comforted? Are you strengthened? Are you encouraged? Are you lifted up? Is this something that happens? Are you guided? Does it give you, is it something you're wrestling with in your life? Is it something? So what's the fruit? Is God honored and glorified by this? Or is the person somehow, giving you a word from God and think they're a prophet? And just what in what spirit is this given? If it's not in a spirit of love, I tend to question it. And then if it's a word that tells you to go do something, it's prescriptive, like move to Arizona. Who's moving to Arizona? All right, did you hear from God? Well, if it requires a big move, a job shift, something like that, you need to have it confirmed, to not just act on it. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your friends. Does this sound like God? Does this sound like a good thing? And the greater the change, the more so you should have it confirmed. Okay? Now, there's some things God speaks to us, and it doesn't involve a lot of change. Now, just recently, I've heard from God in a couple ways. This summer, I reconnected with my old high school friends. Most of them, they're not Christians, and they have a cabin up north. They wanted me to come up north and shoot guns and just have a good time. And so I did, and I had a blast, and we talked about all kinds of things. And then about a month later, they asked me again, and I'm like, I just did that. I'm really not sure if I want to go up there. I was wrestling with this, and I was leaning, I don't want to go. And I do a lot of thinking and praying on my front porch in Michigan in summertime. I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, I really felt like I should go. I don't know why, but I should go. Even though I don't want to go, I should go. So I went, and there were five guys. I mean, these guys are really rough guys. But we talked about God and spirituality and faith and matters like that. And when I got home, one of them called me and said, "My son's going through a really hard time. And I would like you to talk to him. Because he became a Christian, but now he's questioning everything." And so I thought, okay, well, have you talked to your son about this? And he's like, "No, not yet." So I hate being in that kind of position, right? Someone wants you to. And so anyways, the kid texts me. He's 23. He just finished law school, and he talked to me, and he shared some real concerns he had about his faith. He really felt like he was slipping away. Law school didn't help him. He was studying and questioning and, questioning God's existence. And so we had a chat, but after that first phone call, He said, can we keep doing this? And to this day, every couple weeks, we're reading through Mere Christianity and talking. Now, I was prompted to go. I had no idea what the fruit would be. So sometimes you don't know what's going to end up. And also, just a second story to close out. This summer, I was up camping with a friend who brought a stepbrother along with him who's 20 years old. We had a really good time all weekend, and this stepbrother has really had a difficult life. His mom's been married 6 times, and his father died when he was 3, and his brother, who is a couple years older, is a total maniac. He has to lock his room because his brother breaks in and steals all of his money, everything. He's just living with in a very difficult circumstance. And over the weekend, I got to know him. His name's Jacob. And, you know, my heart went out for him because it's like some people just can't get a break in life, right? And so in any case, weekend goes by. And a week later, I'm out on my porch thinking and praying. And all of a sudden, a thought comes in my mind, invite Jacob to live with you. All right? Now, I have a 5-bedroom house. And 3 of those bedrooms aren't being used. So I thought, invite Jacob to live with me. That's a bigger change than going up north, right? Is this guy an axe murderer? What am I inviting in my house? But I talked with a few friends. I talked to them. And I thought, I'll just talk to him and see if he would like to do that because he lives in North Carolina. And my friends were like, that would be good for him. I don't know how it would be good for you, but it should be good. And I felt, the more I prayed about it, I felt like it's the right thing to do. I want to help this kid out, right? And so I called him, and I said, here's what I'm thinking. You know, I told him the story. I'm sitting on the porch. If you'd like to come move and stay with me and get a job and all that, I'd be happy to have you up here and help you out. You've had a tough life, and he needed to get out of the situation with his brother. It was actually physically abusive to him as well. And he started crying. He says, no one has ever really cared for me in my life. And he said, I would love to do that. And he's moving up this Saturday. This next Saturday. So I don't know if he's an axe murderer. But illustrates God is speaking outside the Bible about things that are important and communicating. And if God is always speaking, I mean, it's hard enough for me, okay? I'm kind of dull. In the natural realm, I don't get everything, right? Let alone the supernatural realm. I mean, I watch students now walk across campus with their earbuds, and they don't smell the grass and hear the birds chirping and all that. They're in a tunnel, just in the natural realm. But God is speaking all around us, and to open up to that is what I'm going to encourage you to do. But not do so in such a way that it's reckless. It needs to be checked, especially if it involves a big decision. So here's how I want to close today. Do you need guidance, direction? Are you been asking? Are you in a situation where you need to make some decisions about a job, a relationship? Inviting people to live in your house? Advice on how fast to drive in your car? Anything like that? What I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now. God's speaking. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just speak to you about your situation. And if you need guidance and direction, now's a good time to just... I see Pastor Steve's going to do a series on being still. Most people think to hear God's voice, you've got to kind of get revved up. No, it's the exact opposite. Dial down increases. And then you can hear God's voice. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now, close your eyes. I'm just going to... Holy Spirit, to come and give you guidance and direction for whatever you need. And then after we're done listening, if you want more prayer,
Pastor Steve and I will be up here. We'd be happy to pray for you about that situation or anything else. Just leave it open if you need some prayer this morning. But specifically, if you need some guidance and direction, you need to hear God for some real specific reason. So let me pray, you listen, and then you're invited to come up. And if you don't need prayer, have a great Sunday. It was good to be here with you. So let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that you speak to us. You've spoken through your Son. You speak through the word of Scripture. But your Spirit also takes that word and speaks into our lives very specifically, very personally. And I just pray right now that your Spirit would come over people here who are seeking and needing guidance and direction. I pray right now that you would just speak into their situation. Help them to hear your voice. I just pray that you would very specifically give them guidance and direction this morning. And I just pray that we have had eyes to hear, or eyes to see and ears to hear you. God, help us to discern you. In Jesus' name, amen.